Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our consciousness, how we as a civilization are moving into new spiritual territories, new awakening, a kind of planetary renaissance of spirit seems to be happening. And in that, there are some unique, gifted individuals coming forward to hold a level of consciousness that will, in a sense, propel people to a greater awareness of who they are. And tonight we'll be talking about the work of Bratzo. He's an amazing being from Serbia, from former Yugoslavia, and we'll be talking with some of the people who travel with him, Michael Sala and Angelica Wycliffe. Welcome, Michael and Angelica.
Hello, Alan. Nice to be here with you.
Very nice to have you back on the show again. And I know that we should really, before we get into anything else, really say who Bratzo is and why his work is so valuable at this time. And then we'll go into some background about him. But what would you say, Angelica? Because you've written a book about him. I think you've done a movie about him. So give us a little background on Bratzo and why his work is so important.
Well, Bratzo in many ways is a very normal man. He comes from Zagreb, Croatia, and he was someone who followed a normal life course, very conventional, but since a very early age, he wished for something more out of life. Because he had all of the material things. He came from a prosperous family, so he was well taken care of in that way. And he went to school, got a business degree in economics. And then when he was in his mid-20s, he met a Serbian man named Ivica Prokic, who was doing this work of helping people by sharing a special gift. And the two of them only knew each other for about 16 months, but this man had such an impact on Bratzo, and he helped Bratzo discover that he had an ability, a special talent, a gift for conveying something to people to help them to better their lives. And so it was back in 1995 that Bratzo first began doing this work of helping people. And he has worked by different methods over the years. And currently, the way that he conveys this gift to people is simply in silence through his gaze.
I wasn't aware that he was working in other ways besides the gazing. How else was he working before he started gazing? I'm just curious.
Yes, well, he started gazing in 2004. And prior to that, he was seeing people one-on-one. And at first, he started with physical touch to convey this gift, to convey this strength, this special substance that helped to balance and harmonize a person's life. Then he started speaking with people. And he would have very brief conversations. Little would be said because so many people were gathered to see him. And it didn't require a lot of time, but he was speaking to people and even writing things on a piece of paper or giving them a book to read to help them to understand their life better. And these were all ways that he initially started working with. Then he developed, the talent in him grew and developed, and eventually it went beyond seeing people individually, it went beyond words, and it had to be conveyed in a bigger way, and that's when he started gazing for groups.
And I've seen him, I think he has a beautiful, compassionate energy. I mean, I felt really nice things, but what do you think actually happens when he looks out at the group with, there's no ego involved. I just see a beautiful being. But what is the energetics that is happening that you can see? And maybe Michael wants to add some ideas about what he thinks is happening with Bratzo.
Well, I can tell you that scientists who have studied him over in Europe, in Germany and Austria and Switzerland, say that an effect is taking place that goes beyond normal energetic healing. And there have been many hypothesis is about what he's doing, but nobody has actually described exactly what's behind this interaction that takes place between Bratzo and his visitors. And, you know, he's never given a media interview, and he hasn't spoken in public since 2004. So it's not him, Alan, who is describing what's taking place. So we can certainly say that he is tapping into something that is completely natural. There's nothing paranormal about this or esoteric. But it is this life substance that represents the strength that nourishes all living things, that somehow he has this gift to attune to it and even direct it toward people, that they can, then a deeper part of themselves can utilize this to create beneficial changes in their life.
And you've seen some amazing things happening over the past few years when you've been traveling with him. Can you relay some of the things you've actually witnessed personally?
Oh, my goodness, Alan. I tell you, it's so diverse. I have seen people come in with severe spinal injuries where they were scheduled for surgery because doctors wanted to fuse discs together and told them that they would never walk again after the surgery and end up in pain for the rest of their life. I've seen several instances where people told me they came to Bratzo and they simply felt a peace and a calm during the gazing experience and then went back into their life. And then over the days and the months ahead, they said they started to just feel better and stronger and would eventually go back to their doctors, have x-rays. And I've seen several instances where the spine was completely made normal again.
Wow.
This is extraordinary. But depression, people who have severe depression say they just felt a burden lifted and all of a sudden they didn't feel in that rut anymore where they didn't know where to turn or what to do in life. Or others who had relationships with their partners that were in total chaos. They only fought and argued. We actually had a neighbor here in Hawaii who said that her relationship with her adult daughter had been unpleasant at best their entire life. And they never had a pleasant conversation, that the daughter was so negative. Well, this woman just brought the photograph of her daughter to a Bratzo gazing session. And she said 2 days later, her daughter called. They spoke for over an hour, and it was a beautiful conversation where her daughter was positive in a way that was completely new. And so it's, you know, there's quite a variety here, Alan, of what can take place.
Would you say it's sort of a combination of the person's own will to heal as well as whatever they're gaining from Bratzo? I mean, of course we like to explain it somehow. I mean, Michael, what do you think? You're a practical person, yet you've been on the road. I'm not saying this isn't practical, but I mean, you're looking at things, in your own particular way. What are you thinking about what's happening and how do you think what's going on here is really, working?
I think what Bratzo does is he is able to connect with people's intentions or aspirations that are at a level which is very deep within them. It's beyond the kind of ego level. It's deeper in terms of what it is that would bring fulfillment and completeness to a person's life. And he's able to connect with that. Sometimes people come into one of these gazing sessions and they're conscious of what it is that they desire. But in many other cases, people come in and what they receive is very different to what they thought that they would get out of this. In other words, Bratzo is able to connect a part of themselves which has been denied by the kind of superficial social realities that we create around ourselves. So, for example, a frustrated artist will all of a sudden find the strength to leave an unsatisfying job, or an unfulfilled writer will find the determination and the willpower to write a book. So I think this is what's unique from my perspective with Bratzo, is that he's really able to connect that person's inner aspiration, unfulfilled intentions, with something that Bratzo is himself connected with, which I think we can give it different names. We can call it God force, soul force, the divine spark, whatever you want to call it. But essentially, there's something that Bratzo is connected with that he is able to help others connect with. So in many ways, it's almost like, you know, the metaphor of lighting the candle. As one candle is lit, it is able to light another candle and so forth, so on and so on. So I think that is kind of along the lines of what is happening with Bratzo.
Well, that, I mean, of course, there's no real explanation, but I think that sounds plausible to me. I just want to tell people before we go too far in the show that Bratzo will be in New York City August 31st to September 3rd, 2012 at the New Yorker Hotel, and that is at 34th Street and 8th Avenue, starting at 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And the best website is what?
It's bratzo.net. BRACO.net, where you can get advanced tickets, or you can show up at the door the day of the event and get tickets as well.
And tickets are only $8. Now, why charge anything at all? Why charge $8? I mean, what's the rationale behind that?
Well, I'll tell you, Alan, that if you go to Bratzo Center in Zagreb, Croatia, for these last 17 years, it has always been free and they don't accept donations. And as Bratzo has been invited to other countries, he's basically asked his organizers to charge the $8 because it's enough to cover the logistical costs, the venue rental. But Bratzo doesn't take any of that either. So he's just trying to keep this as accessible to anybody at any level so that they can come and experience this gift if they wish.
But, yeah, and I appreciate that. And $8 is something everyone can afford, at least one session. I'm just curious, what is he like? He seems like a really regular guy. I mean, is he only connecting to the source, or however Michael described it, when he's gazing? Or is he at that place all the time, living in sort of an enlightened reality?
Well, you know, we just came back, Michael and I, from Croatia, spending a little R&R time with Bratzo and his family. And I wrote about it in the book 21 Days with Bratzo, that Bratzo is someone who he has an innocence to him, a humility. He's always positive. You know, I'd have to say one of his great qualities is that you can see that he just wishes to do good in the world, but he's always focused toward the positive. And that's not so easy in our lives, where we're just bombarded with so many challenges and chaos of information. Yet I see him as a man, even though he's a normal man, he has this really exceptional ability to be disciplined and stay focused on the positive element in the situation at hand and really nurture that. And he inspires others to do that.
Right. But using Michael's analogy of one candle lighting another, it seems though that people aren't really lit up. I mean, they might be healed, but you know, he has a presence. He has this positive thing, and people aren't lit in that way for the most part. When they see him, they may have some transformation. But why? I'm just curious. Why can't people become like this, and then we can all be gazing at each other and healing the planet that way? I think that's something that's possible, but I don't see it happening yet.
Well, you know, Deepak Chopra wrote something interesting in one of his books, that people can have an absolutely extraordinary transcendental experience, and then you look at their lives 2 weeks later, a month later, and they have distanced themselves so much from that experience. They haven't fully integrated it into their life so that there is a constancy. And he says that, you know, we are so bombarded once again with information, and we don't have that discipline of focus to stay attuned to what is it that helped us. What was that special experience that brought that positive feeling inside? If we would stay focused with that and allot a little time every day to that, then perhaps more of us could nurture that and grow us to maintain a constancy like Bratzo is able to. But most people have not gotten to that place yet, Alan. And I think, you know, also when somebody has it good in their life, then oftentimes they forget the hard times, which is a good thing. But when we forget this anchor point to keep it as a touchstone every day through the good or the bad, then we can be chaotic again and not have that constancy.
Well, can you talk about your life and Michael talk about what's your experience personally? I mean, you seem to have the intent, you seem to have the will and certainly the reach. How has your life changed and are you able to keep that constancy?
Well, I'll tell you, I wrote about in the book how one of the biggest wishes in my heart was to write a book. I had published articles, I had been on the speaking circuit, but I could never find that strength and that focus to actually create a book. And once I was with Bratzo and experienced his gift, I felt that it pulled something out of me that was innately there, but I could never quite access. And that gave me the stability and the courage to move forward and fulfill that very strong dream and aspiration. What I found since is that at times this gift works in our lives in really mysterious ways where it will bring us things that maybe we're not totally focused to. It will bring us sometimes gifts that we, take our breath away. And other times it brings up things inside of us that need healing that we need to face within ourselves, that we need to recognize and clear away. And so it can work at different levels, but I find it's a growing process that is something that you can work with at the degree that you want, staying focused to it, or you can have something great happen in your life and then walk away and not think about it. It's up
right
to us.
It's an ongoing experience. I know every time I see Bratzo, it's a little different. Seems to get a little more intense, and it's always beautiful. But Michael, do you want to talk a little bit about maybe how your transformation has happened when you've been around Bratzo or because of your work? Because I know you're on the road with him a lot as well.
Yes, Alan. Well, there's a lot of things that have happened, but the most meaningful for me is probably the most subtle, which is that he has kind of given me the opportunity to connect with people in a public way in terms of how his gift, how whatever quality he brings into these gazing sessions helps open people up, touching people in their hearts. And in introducing Bratzo, I find that one of my desires has been satisfied, which was to be able to connect with people through the heart, connecting with what it is that really touches people in terms of their deepest aspirations, their deepest desires, and to help kind of connect and strengthen that and bring that out into the open. And that is something that I noticed myself that is very meaningful for me because I've been doing public speeches or speaking for quite a number of years now, a couple of decades really. And the topics that I've focused on have typically been things that are more intellectual in nature, where you're giving people a lot of information, where you're giving people a lot of facts for them to consider and to kind of integrate in a way which they can look at the world in a slightly different way, and that helps them. And what I've noticed with Bratzo is that he doesn't do that. I mean, what he does is he just simply silently gazes at them. He's not giving them this kind of information, this intellectual food, if you like, to get them to look at the world in a slightly different way so that they can act in a different way. He's silently just looking at them. And the impact he has on people is, from what I've seen, much more profound than just being able to stand in front of them and speak to them and give them information in this kind of conventional intellectual way that we normally do when we're doing public speaking events. And that for me is opening up this new possibility and something that I am developing, which is to try to make that heart connection with people. Of course, Bratzo does it by looking at them, trying to make that eye connection. As a speaker introducing Bratzo, what I'm doing is to try to make that connection with people's aspirations, what they bring into that into that event and try as a speaker to help them connect with themselves, what aspiration they bring in, and to then facilitate this process with Bratzel, who comes in a little bit later and does the gazing.
Right. I get that. So I appreciate that. I just want to tell you, I do hear a little rustling in the background of paper, but that's okay. So it is a non-intellectual process. It bypasses any kind of mental projection we have in it. And, you know, that is sort of the false part of ourselves anyway, this intellect that we've developed. And the real part is just that immediate experience. That's who we are as beings. So I'm also curious, and we talked about it a little bit in the beginning, this history of Bratzo. I mean, he had a teacher named Ivica.
Ivica Prokic.
Ivica. And so did Ivica sort of transfer this gift onto Bratzo, and did Ivica himself come from some kind of healing tradition? I mean, what is the legacy of this teaching and this sharing?
Well, Ivica Prokic was a man who was born in Serbia, and he had an interesting experience at age 7 where he was playing with some children riverside, and he would later say that he felt like a piece of the sun came down and entered his ankle, and he fell down unconscious, and when he awoke, he felt that something had been changed inside of him. And after that point, he felt different than the other children, that something was awakened inside of him that he would one day be able to share. But it would be some time before that would come out and before he would start sharing his gift. Bratzo met him back in 1993, and basically, Ivica never actually taught Bratzo as such. It was not so much a teacher-student relationship. It was more that Bratzo had found someone who he felt this calm, this peace, this love inside that he had been searching for his whole life. He felt that in Ivica's presence, and he walked away from everything to be at Ivica's side as Ivica was helping the people. They only knew each other 16 months before Ivica was actually killed in an accident. And at that time, Ivica had written in several books that Bratzo would be his successor and carry on the work and carry the gift even more powerfully than himself. But Bratzo had never helped people with the gift. He had never done a healing up to that point. And it was only after his death that people started coming to Bratzo and said, please, will you help me? We feel that you can. And Bratzo just took on this responsibility to start working with the people, and there was success right away in the help that he offered.
So how many years was Ivica doing his work before he met Bratzo?
Well, back in 1989, Ivica had another one of these trigger experiences, like as in childhood, where he visited a bioenergetic healing clinic. And the people there, actually at first, when they saw him, they said, why are you asking us for help? They said, you are a master of these kind of things. We should be asking you for help. But Ivica had some pain in his body, and he just wanted to address that. So they did a series of treatments with him, and at the end of that series, he had a very powerful visionary experience. And after that, the people of the clinic said, you have a very special gift, and it's your responsibility to share it. And it was after that that Ivica found the validation that he really needed to just go out there and start using his gift on behalf of people.
So is Ivica's spirit still in touch with Bratzo, or has he moved on, would you say?
Well, you know, Avitsa or Bratzo doesn't speak of those things. He doesn't speak in those terms about his dear friend. But certainly many people who knew Avitsa and still come to see Bratzo say that they very much feel Avitsa's presence in and around Bratzo. And that that same strength that Avitsa passed on to people, they feel that coming through Bratzo. So I can't say specifically that Avitsa passed on his energy to Bratzo. That's never been discussed by Bratzo. But again, people identify very much with Avitsa's gift being offered through Bratzo now, too.
I just want to say, I do hear a little rustling in the background on a mic there. Is that anything we could help? Do you hear? Hello?
I'm okay, not hearing better. That. Is that okay?
That's better now. Thank you. So it's very interesting, though, this whole story of Avitsa. Is there a tradition in this part of the former Yugoslavia, Croatia, of these types of healers? I mean, it is kind of a mystical, a mysterious place. I mean, there's that appearance of the Virgin Mary and Medjugorje somewhere in that area.
That's right. That's not too far away. But what's really interesting, Alan, is that during the time that Avitsa started working, it was actually against the law to do energy healing or prophecy or astrology or any of these things that we take for granted nowadays as you know, just work that we can benefit from. At that time, Avitsa actually ended up in prison once. And it was only because the police chief at the time befriended Avitsa, and his own wife had been helped with a vision problem. The doctors couldn't help her, and his wife went to Avitsa, and he helped her recover her vision. And so this police chief vouched for Avitsa and got him out of prison, but it was actually very difficult for him to work at that time.
I see. So, but he didn't, I mean, he just had these experiences. Was he a studied mystic? Did he have teachers of his own, or did he just have these sort of isolated, awakened type of experiences?
No, Avitsa was not a man who was seeking information from other people. He was very much someone who trusted in his own feelings and experiences, very much like Bratzo. Bratzo, too, is not someone who has read the philosophical books of the teachers and spiritual masters. All of the information or Bratzo's work really comes from something inside of himself that's innately there that he recognizes and taps into. And although Avitsa had certainly read of people like Nostradamus and some other exceptional persons of prior ages, his work was not based on their principles. It was something that naturally evolved out of him.
So, Michael, I just want to ask you, you know, I know you've been involved in the exopolitics movement and a lot of UFO research. Does this idea of this sun hitting Avitsa's ankle sound like some kind of higher dimensional ET type of experience or guidance? Or have you heard anything like that in your research?
Well, there is a number of books that Avitsa has written where he talks about that incident. What I'd like to kind of focus on, though, is just exactly how Avitsa began doing this work in 1989, because one of the things that maybe isn't quite clear is that that was also the time when the former Yugoslavia began to collapse, and actually had the collapse of the Berlin Wall. Okay. And I think there's a kind of connection here, because if you're looking at a bigger picture, it's like, well, what would the universe do to try to help this part of the world, or help people that are going to be very quickly find themselves in the midst of probably one of the most devastating of wars, where kind of brothers pitted against brother and families are rent asunder because of these very kind of spurious, vague ethnic cleavages that existed at the time, and that this was when Ivica began to operate. And so, you know, that incident you talked about where he, when he was 7 years old, was had this kind of metaphysical encounter with a shard of the sun's light entering into his ankle, you know, that kind of lay in there dormant. But I think what essentially happened was that whatever it was that entered into him was there lying dormant all these years until 1989, when all of a sudden he was awakened. But he was awakened at the very same time when that part of the world had the greatest need, because you had this war that basically led to this country, Yugoslavia, which was kind of a melting pot of different ethnic groups, supposedly living in this kind of socialist paradise, all of a sudden breaking apart into these ethnic factions, where they were basically going into each other's villages and massacring one another. And of course, Ivica gets awakened at this very time and begins helping people by introducing them to this energy, to this light. The sun was a very important part of Ivica's work, and when he was doing this work, he was always paying homage to the light, to the sun, to this energy that was infusing itself through him and through the sun's rays, and helping people. And he was helping many, many people. Hundreds and thousands of people were being healed in this very traumatic situation. And then, of course, in 1993, Bratzel comes into the picture, and Bratzel is kind of silently a witness, assisting Ivica as Ivica was doing this work. And I think that Ivica passed on to Bratzel something of that kind of heritage that Ivica had gained through that experience when he was a young man, and also back in 1989 when he began doing this work, when he was helping traumatized people for nothing, of course, because this was something that was done really out of Ivica's desire to just be of service to people without any desire for monetary gain. And at the beginning, it was very difficult for Ivica to survive financially, but he did so. And then later on, Bratzel came in, and he just kind of continued to do that work.
So Ivica was helping hundreds of thousands of people. How was he doing that? With a one-on-one? He didn't do the gazing, or did he? I mean, what was his process of his particular work?
Go ahead. Sorry, Michael.
Yes, it was the one-on-one work. It was to begin with Ivica Prokic. It was basically seeing several hundred people a day at his clinic, and then he'd go on the road and travel, and he'd be helping these expatriate Yugoslav peoples throughout other parts of the Balkans and Europe. And so it was really establishing a foundation for the work that Bratzel eventually inherited from Ivica. But one of the things that was very interesting about Ivica was that he always had a small cadre of people around him that helped him with being able to travel travel into other parts of Europe, and to be able to give people this exposure to the energy or to the gift that Ivica had. That Ivica told these people around him that he would one day, that they could expect to see one day a very gifted young man who would come, and that Ivica asked them to basically keep a lookout for this young man. And when Bratzel first came into that clinic, Ivica immediately recognized him as being this young man and told his helpers that this was a very pure soul that would one day do the work that Ivica was doing, but be able to reach and touch hundreds of thousands or millions of people, as opposed to Ivica, who was really working with hundreds and thousands.
Mm-hmm. So he was sort of the initiator. Bratzel's now come in and really expanded this work to be worldwide. I mean, he's you know, not limited to Croatia or Europe, and he has been all over the world at this point, hasn't he, Angelica?
He's been to, of course, many, many countries across Europe. He's been across the U.S. to Japan. He has invitations to new countries now. And so it is expanding the places that he is physically visiting. But also, a new element has been introduced in the last year of live streaming, of people being able to watch a gazing session with Bratso live in person, but it is being streamed out to home computers. And so now people in over 40 countries have been able to participate and experience Bratso in this way.
Would you say that's just as powerful as the live gazing?
Well, what we can do is only look at people's own stories and testimonials. And so far, the stories that we have seen over the last year plus from the live streaming, the stories are really just the same as with the live gazing.
Oh, so people are having some miraculous healings just on the streaming, you're saying?
Yes, and even people are bringing in photographs of loved ones during the live streams and holding those and asking for help on behalf of others and are having positive experiences as well. I do want to say, Alan, that of course not everybody who comes to Bratso has a remarkable experience or feels something. For some people, it takes several experiences that something opens within them to participate with this gift. And some people really never feel that connection, but it's that such a large majority do that I think really through word of mouth, Bratso's work spread across Europe and has reached the United States and expands further.
Well, what is the ultimate vision of Bratso and the organization? Is he just going to keep doing this? Is there a bigger picture? Is there a great goal he has for the, you know, unification of the earth? I mean, what does he want? I mean,
you know, it's not that Bratso is bringing enlightenment to everyone. It's not about that. It's much more humble than that, but perhaps more pertinent that he's helping to offer to people a new strength, a new foundation in their life so that they can be open to life more fully, with less fear, more having a sense of security beyond the material, to know that there's something inside of us that is always there to help us, to guide us, to give us clarity when we need it. Bratso is helping people to connect to this. And he didn't announce back in 2004 ahead of time that he would stop seeing people individually and start gazing. And he didn't tell people ahead of time, a little over a year ago, that live streaming would be open to the world. You know, he works very spontaneously, in a way very innocently, just open in the moment. And so I think we will see new things in the future, but I can't predict what those are at this time, Alan.
Well, no, I am interested in whatever you see, because it seems like, you know, you and the organization really just want to reach as many people as you can. But is there a time when perhaps Bratso will no longer, I guess you can't see that at this point. For right now, it seems like he's on the road, he's doing his thing, and he's trying to just travel as much as possible. Is that true?
Well, it's true. And he's been doing this for 17 years. And, you know, he's in his mid-40s, and he has incredible stamina. I mean, people remark about his calm and his peace and his stamina all the time. So yes, he can continue to travel like he is, but I do think a time will come where, whether it be through the live streaming or through new methods that are offered to the people, that Bratso will be able to reach more people than he currently is.
Actually, yeah, I mean, it reminds me a little bit of Bruno Goring, the German healer. And what Bruno would say, I think in the 40s and 50s, was the more people that he saw, the more powerful his gift was for healing. Is that true with Bratso, would you say, Michael? Is that, or is that not a factor, really?
Well, I think there is something to that, which is why the live events are always the most popular. People always say that when they're in those live events that they feel this gift, this quality, whatever it is that is being transmitted through Bratso, more so than when they're just listening to a video or even doing some of the live streaming events, because in that live event you have a number of people there in that same situation, and they are participating in the gazing, and so there is something that is built up there, or there's something that is being exchanged, and certainly I think that the more people that are there, the more powerfully it's going to be felt.
So it's like a field effect. I mean, we talk about quantum physics of building a field and the field having a resonance with it. So maybe the larger the field, the more that impacts on the field of humanity. And maybe that's why Bratzo is traveling so much, in order to make this healing impact on the general morphogenetic field of humanity. That's my intellectual commentary on that. But, well, one knows.
One thing I'd like to add, Ellen, is that most people tend to see Bratzo as a healer, as a great healer, and that's certainly a big part of the work that he does. But I think really for the future, where I think Bratzo's true legacy is going to be is really helping develop a planetary peace, because I think that is the area that I've seen him help people in a very profound way, is to help them develop this inner peace where people feel content with themselves. They feel a sense of calm, a sense of peacefulness. And of course, once you have that feeling, then the most difficult of conflicts are easy to resolve, because you're not carrying over the baggage from whatever trauma, whatever kind of emotional hang-ups people have had. And Bratzo can help people achieve that sense of inner peace. And I think the more Bratzo gets known by people, the bigger influence he has as he sees more and more people around the world. And as we get into that kind of field of, say, millions of people tuning into Bratzo at the same time, I think that's when you're going to have the biggest change, is because he's going to help people connect with that inner peace where they truly are at one with themselves, where they feel that calmness within themselves. And then that, I think, is going to just kind of like explode around the world, where all of a sudden the most damaging or the most troubling of conflicts, as we're seeing now, you look around the world now, and as you know, there are so many conflicts, so many violent situations around the planet. And I think that as more and more people tune into Bratzo, he's going to help them find this place within themselves where they can create peace in their communities. Angelica spoke about that incident where this lady established peace with her daughter from a very troubling, conflictual relationship over the years, where I think Bratzo will help through the live events, through the live streaming, through all of the books, the DVDs, all of these different things that people use to connect with Bratzo. He will help them connect with that inner peace within themselves, and then that will create this peaceful planet. And that's truly when I think we will have a world that becomes a paradise.
Bratzo himself, is he unaffected? Is he happy if people are healed or not, or there's world peace, or is he sort of beyond that sort of emotion?
Well, Alan, Bratzo, of course, is delighted that people receive help. But when he is gazing, he is not focusing specifically on one individual or the worst cases in the room. He is focused to everyone. It is like being focused to the collective and offering this interaction with people. So I would have to say, in a broader scale, Bratzo is really simply focused to sharing this gift and bringing it to people who wish to receive it and experience it. And he doesn't clutter his mind with other activities or thinking in other directions. He really is disciplined in staying focused to the mission, his life mission, of sharing this.
I understand. But you've seen him probably thousands of times now. Do you feel like there's still more you can get, more that you want for yourself? Or have you reached a place, not of saturation, but of peace, I would say? I mean, how's that working for you?
Well, for me, Ellen, really, I would say what I hear often commented on by people at every event is that I feel like there is a cumulative effect or a building effect, that there is something happening within that is being nurtured and that's growing, and it is by no means a completed creation at this point. I make no claims to, you know, illumination, enlightenment, but I do have a stability in my life and a sense of myself and a sense of strength that I have not known before this lifetime. And Bradso helped me with depression and overcoming fears within myself, where I can say the person that I am today, I feel truly good about myself. And really, one of my deepest wishes is just to see as many people as possible here in the U.S. and in other countries across the globe just try this experience at least once for themselves and see if it doesn't benefit them. And then they decide if they want to come back, if they want to continue to grow this in themselves too.
Well, you are such an advocate for this work. I'm curious, though, what was that moment? So you went to see Bradso, but something must have happened to you, a trigger moment where, boom, you said, this is truly remarkable. And I'm sure it's in your book, but do you mind just sharing that moment or event where you really got it?
Yes, actually, it was the first time, my first gazing experience with Bradso, where I didn't have a lot of background knowledge about him. And I went in, and I didn't know what to expect, but I expected a lot. And what took place for me was as soon as Bradso entered the room, I started feeling sensations. But to me, that was nothing new, Alan. You know, I've seen so many different energy healers and spiritual teachers, and you feel these things in your body. But there was a moment for me that truly took my breath away, where I felt something given back to me or restored and reharmonized, where I felt a power, a sense of strength, a sense of being able to create the things I want in this lifetime, to be able to actualize them. And I had never felt that. So for me, it was a feeling. It wasn't a physical healing, although I did get many physical healings throughout my time with Bradso. But for me, it was just this experience of something inside so wonderfully loving and powerful and present that just made me feel like this is someone like no other I have met yet.
Was there a moment for you, Michael, where you felt something as well, or was it more gradual because you were married to Angelica and, you know, you just sort of slowly got into it?
Yeah, well, there definitely was that gradual kind of exposure to what was happening and just watching the changes with Angelica. But there was one kind of incident where I was reading Angelica's draft of this of her book, where she's talking about being with Bradso, traveling by Bradso's side, and just when I was reading this, I had an experience where I saw saw pretty clearly a light coming out of the page I was reading on the computer screen. And it just went straight into my heart center. It was a very beautiful white light. It just went straight into my heart center, and I could feel it going deep within me. And I haven't kind of felt anything like that before. I've been exposed to many different groups and kind of have a certain empathic ability. So this was something very different for me, and I felt it kind of go into a place within me that I really wasn't aware of, but I knew that while this was a really beautiful light, and whatever it was, it's a good thing, and that whatever it was Angelica was doing and whoever Bradso was, that it is really part of helping people connect with their heart, and that this involves some light energy connecting with the heart. And I could see that this was something really wonderful, and yes, I wanted to be a part of that.
And you are a big part of it. You're there at a lot of the sessions. And I do think, and that's why I wanted to do this show, that this is a big opportunity for people to connect with their heart And Brazzo, again, will be in New York August 31st to September 3rd at the New Yorker Hotel, 34th Street and 8th Avenue. You know, I'm also curious, though, for you to tell me what happens at his center in Croatia, in Zagreb. I mean, because I think a lot of people do get excited about Brazzo and want to continue some work. So what would go on there if someone went to visit the center? How would you describe it, Angelica?
Well, we actually just came back from a birthday celebration of Ivica Prokic. So every year on August 4th, people come by the thousands bringing flowers and to wish Ivica happy birthday. Even though, you know, he passed back in 1995, this year about 3,500 people came to just give their thanks to Ivica, and then Brazzo would gaze for everyone. Now, Brazzo's center is rather small, and if you go there, you can have a very intimate experience.
That's okay.
Oh, I think, I'm sorry, are you hearing that, Alan?
It's okay. I'm hearing your voice is louder than the phone. So,
Me. So, Brazzo's center is a place that when he is not traveling on tour to other countries, then he's at his center Monday through Wednesday. And you can just come over the course of the day at any time and just participate in the next session to take place. There are no scheduled times. It's people just show up and they go in groups. Buses are constantly showing up from other countries and there's just a spontaneous flow to it. But at Brazzo's center, there's really a very special place that he gazes, and it's called the Onyx Room. And this is a room over the years that Brazzo has put a lot of loving care into creating, where the room itself, from floor to ceiling, is created in yellow onyx. And so it's interesting that I read that there was an ancient temple where a great king built a room out of onyx and that had special properties. I once asked Brazzo if he thought about that or if he did that for a specific reason, and he told me he did it because he just felt like it, that he just felt that that was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. But when you consider all the years that people have been having positive experiences in this very beautiful, special room, there's just so much love and such a feeling in there. And if you can experience it where it all began, because Ivica Prokic also worked in this same space, although it looked quite different back then, there is a history there and something that I think in the future, people will come from all over to see this special place where it all began.
Mm. So in a way, maybe Brazzo is sort of guided by higher beings that are using him as a vehicle for healing and upliftment. And he's getting these impulses to do these things like decorate a room in yellow onyx because that's a guidance of sorts.
Well, you know what, Alan? I have to tell you, Brazzo never speaks in those terms. I mean, in private. And he is actually very practical, and he doesn't like to talk about things that can't be proven. And, you know, he says that, you know, we can say something, but if it just creates more and more questions, how has that really helped? So he hasn't spoken since 2004 about his work, about the effects on people. He just allows the people themselves to talk about the experiences they've had. And again, it's like one candle lighting another. It's this light spreads to others, and eventually this is going to exponentially grow to a tipping point where I think we're going to see something happen in this world that is really going to be quite exceptional.
What do you think that is? What can you...
That there is this cumulative effect, that people feel more and more a sense of calm, peace, like they can be open to life. You know, one of the things I hear so often from people is that after gazing with Brazzo, they not only feel good about themselves, they say they feel really connected to people in the street, people they don't even know. They have this sense of love, of openness. Mm-hmm. Now consider, Alan, if we would walk the streets, many of us, with this sense of looking people in the eye, respectfully, being open to them, trusting one another, feeling peaceful within ourselves, just imagine what effect that could have on our world and what we would create together through this foundation. Mm. I think that is what we are seeing as being established here and what is growing by the year.
Well, I try to do that. I try to look everyone in the eye and be open as much as I can to whoever I meet. I think that's the sort of goal of a lot of people who are seeking to move the planet to a new place of understanding and a place of peace. I mean, that's my vision.
But so, that's for the people who are specifically on the spiritual path looking for something more. But I think still the majority of people across the planet are more conventionally minded and conventionally based in their regular, ordinary lives, and they're still relying on their five senses. And they have problems, severe difficulties in their lives, and they don't know where to turn or what to do. It's different than someone like yourself or someone who has been doing yoga for years, meditation. I see people come to Brazzo from all walks of life, from all religious belief systems and ideologies, because he does work in the silence, and that can embrace everybody, no matter where they come from. And I see these people who don't believe in anything walking out the door with a new sense of openness to the future, a new positive embrace for the future, and they pass that on to their families and friends. And I think this is what helps it grow faster, because the spiritual community is still relatively small. So how do we reach the other people, the, you know, that majority? How do we help them? Because I think it has to be all of us together.
Right. No, I agree. And I think that's great. And the more people are doing that, of course, the better. And whoever can activate that in other people, it's beautiful. And it's perfect. And this is our evolution. So you're saying at his center in Croatia, he doesn't speak at all either. He does the same thing, but usually to smaller crowds. Is that what happens there?
Yes. For a gazing session at his center, the room is rather small. So it can hold, I would say, about 120 people. So it's a very intimate experience. But in the U.S., when he's on tour, we have sessions scheduled every hour, and you can get your tickets on the hour. But in Zagreb, it's just there's a continuous flow of gazing sessions occurring, and there's no tickets, there's no schedule. It's just group after group can go as people just arrive there.
Uh-huh. And on the tour, I mean, you or Michael or some other people give a little talk. They give a little introduction to the people sitting there for about 10 minutes. And then he comes out and gazes for what, about 8 minutes or something usually?
You know, about 5 to 8 minutes he gazes. And then he leaves the stage, and an opportunity is offered for some.
Right. I lost you a little bit back there, Angelica. You sound a little faint in the background. Oh, that's better. Hello? Angelica? Michael, do you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, we lost Angelica a little bit back there. But I got what she was saying about the process. Do you want to fill in a little bit on that, Michael? I'm just curious. He can gaze for 5 or 8 minutes. Does that depend on what he feels, or is there, it's just whatever's coming through him? I mean, how does he work?
That's pretty much the average, 5 to 7 minutes when he's on the road. And when he's in Croatia, in Zagreb, in his center, it's pretty much right on 5 minutes, and people are used to just coming in, doing the gazing session, and then leaving. So it's much quicker. You don't have you don't have long introductions or people being given a lot of background information because they know him there very well. And while there are relatively a few new people coming to see him in Zagreb, many of the people there who do see him regularly, they've been doing this for years. So they know all about him. They know the way it works. So it's much quicker. But essentially, the process there and the process in the United States is very similar in terms of format. You have the introduction, then you have the gazing itself, and then you have that final opportunity for people to share any experience they have. And then people are left to go and integrate the experience as best they can themselves.
Huh. I'm just curious, does he have an inner circle? I mean, you guys are sort of in the inner circle, but does he have anybody he's training or like he was with his teacher? Does he tell people that, or maybe he might or he doesn't say, or what do you think about that?
There is no real inner circle there, Alan. He really just has a few people that he works with who help with the logistics of events. But it's not as though he's sharing kind of any kind of information concerning what he's doing, other than just kind of helping people organize for upcoming events and for the needs of those that are visiting in Zagreb there. And so it really is just he has his helpers in Zagreb who help organize the center and those who are showing up. And then he has when he's on the road, he has a groups of organizers such as Angelica and any others that are helping with the logistics of the events. So, Alan, let me put you on speakerphone so that way
okay,
Angelica can contribute
fine.
As well.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just well, thank you. I'm glad you're back, Angelica.
Hi, yes, I'm afraid the battery just went out on my iPad.
Oh, that's okay. You're saying he doesn't charge any money in Croatia? I mean, how does he make money to keep his operations running?
Right, no, he charges no money. And again, he doesn't accept donations. Nothing is asked for and it's not even accepted. But you have to consider that over 90 documentary films have been made about Brazzo and his work. And there have also been several books written about him. And so the royalties from that goes to support the center and keep it free to the people. And it supports Brazzo and his family so he can continue to do this work.
I see. He does have a family. Can you just give us a little background on his family? Not to get too personal, but I'm just curious.
Yes, he has a 12-year-old son named Andalon, and he has a very beautiful wife named Dinka. They are very happily married, and I can tell you that one of Brazzo's biggest joys in life is simply playing with his son, taking him fishing, being seaside, and enjoying the family's company.
So he talks to his family. He's a regular guy when he's just hanging out with the family.
Well, certainly, yes, he can speak and he does speak. And yes, he's a regular guy. But again, what I've noticed from him with all the different times I've been in his company, that again, he's a little different. I almost feel like I am in a protective bubble when I am at his side. He's not gazing. Maybe we're having a cup of espresso at a cafe, but he exudes such a calm and a peace. And I think that people who are just around him feel happier. I know that's what I experience.
Does he speak English?
And he does speak some English.
He does. That's interesting. But it's also interesting to observe when he's doing the gazing, he seems like he's in another state of consciousness. He's sort of, in a non-egoic, blissed out state in a way. That's what I sense with him. Is that true?
Well, I've heard some people say that it is like Brazzo disappears when he's doing the gazing. And we've actually had many reports of people say that they physically see him disappear. Now, of course, most of us gaze into or look to his face, his eyes during the session. But although he again doesn't speak of these things, I think there's something in that, that he goes to this place inside of himself, which is at a level of peace, of love that is so full and rich. And somehow he's tapping into this strength. You can call it a universal strength or that substance which nourishes all of life. Somehow he's able to direct that toward others, and that interaction takes place.
Well, it's a very beautiful experience. I recommend it to everybody. And, of course, your book, Angelica, 21 Days with Bratso, is still available, isn't it?
Yes, you can go to bratso.net, and there are many films available now in the U.S. about Bratso and his work. And many people have received help from Bratso who have not seen him in person just by reading his story or watching one of the films. And that's another very intriguing element of his work.
Mm-hmm. Has Oprah seen him yet?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
That could be something on the horizon, Alan.
Would he do an interview with Oprah, or would she?
I think at this point I could safely say that he would gaze for Oprah's audience, but no, not give an interview.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. That's good. I mean, that's interesting. But he does want to reach as many people as possible, and I think he is, and I think you're both doing a great job supporting this work in the world. Is there any final words you would like to say about Bratso and maybe his overall schedule and what people can expect?
Okay, well, I would like to let the people know that in October, Bratso will be touring on the East Coast, visiting Washington, D.C., Miami Beach, Florida, and also in the Midwest in Chicago. And you can find more information about that on bratso.net. And I would just offer to people that Bratso's gift is something that sometimes it can reach us very gently at first, but my experience is from people that it really helps to anchor more of ourselves, to bring forth our wholeness. And as we focus on that and allow that to be nourished, really, I see absolutely anything possible with this gift.
Well, do you think it's possible for a planet to exist where everyone is doing what Bratso's doing? I think it's possible.
Well, in the Vedas, you know, they talk about the four ages. And so in the highest age, I think they would say that we would all be attuned to these kind of abilities and recognize these sources of substance that we can attune to. Absolutely, I think it's possible, but I think that nothing happens like a big bang, that it's a gradual process pulling everybody along. And as we all collectively focus more on the positive, find more peace and share that and more love, then it will raise all boats.
Well, I hope so. Any final words from you, Michael, about Bratso and the experience?
And I think, I mean, this interview is just an illustration of how word gets out about Bratso. We don't do any big PR campaign to get the word out. What we rely on is people having an experience with Bratso and just sharing it with their friends, with loved ones, about what they felt and encouraging them to come along and have a look at Bratso. And this is a good, perfect example because you did attend the last time we were there. Well, you have seen Bratso at a gaze.
Yeah, a few times. I've seen about five or six times now. Yeah.
And there's been, and somehow that has touched you and you feel moved to tell your audience about this experience with Bratso, how it's worthwhile and how it really behooves them to just come along and just experience Bratso. And that's really what it's all about. It's just people having
personal experiences with Bratzo and sharing with their friends and loved ones. And that's how the word gets out. And I really think that that's a very beautiful, sweet way for this gift to be shared to the masses. It's not a big glitzy campaign. It's really just heartfelt experiences that people share with one another.
It's true. I did have some very pleasant experiences, and I do feel each time something got more and more intense for me. The last time I saw him was Miami, or was it Fort Lauderdale? It was just more and more powerful. So I'm curious about this next trip to New York in August 31st to September 3rd. He's going to be doing sessions on the hour from 11 in the morning to 7 at night.
That's right, Alan. And it's a beautiful hotel, a beautiful ballroom, so there's plenty of room. We expect a lot of people, but there's room for lots. So you can tell your friends, you can bring family members. But I would mention you have to be 18 years or older to gaze with Bratzo.
And why is that? Why not children?
Well, you know, during the birthday celebrations, Bratzos and Davitsas, the children can come. But one thing that we found is that when you have young children in the gazing session for 35 minutes, listening to introductions and things, that sometimes the parents, their full attention is on keeping their child in their seat and quiet. And we want to create an experience that is quiet and nurturing for everyone. So we ask parents to instead bring a photograph of their children. And, of course, the children can see the films about Bratzo. They can read about Bratzo. But the photographs are the best way for the children to have their experience.
Oh, I see. He's not against children. It's just the whole distraction. Yes, it's hard for children to keep their attention that long. And
it can be a bit. And yeah, we heard a lot of crying children and babies at Avitsa's birthday celebration where, you know, we'd have 500 people gathered in the courtyard and Bratzo did an outdoor gazing. And it's beautiful that families can attend on those two dates, but there's also a practical element. Some people come with really serious conditions or, you know, really difficult life problems, and they really need a nurturing environment without distractions so they can just walk away and take whatever they can from the experience.
I totally understand that. Yes, yes. Well, thank you both. It's always great talking to you, and I will be seeing you in New York in the next couple of weeks. And any final words there, Michael, or from you?
Yeah, just people come along, be open to having an experience. Don't bring in too many expectations, and just be open to it. And thank you, Alan, for just going out there to let people know about Bratzo and all the work you do in just raising planetary awareness, and especially there in New York.
Love your show, Alan. We really appreciate the work you do through this show and how many people it reaches.
Oh, well, thank you. I enjoy doing this, and I really feel honored in a way to be at the edge and explorer of consciousness and bringing what I feel is valuable to an audience that's open to hearing this. So it is a kind of synergistic movement we are all involved with, and I think Bratzo is an interesting piece and an important piece, what he brings. And we're all doing our part to create some kind of synergistic shift on a planetary level. So it's very exciting.
Well, I think we all have something to offer, and we just have to have the courage to get out there and share. And again, we appreciate the work that you're doing, because we know people are hungry for this type of information, and you're really doing a lot of work to bring it to the people.
Thank you. Well, in a way, it's not work, it's fun. I really enjoy these conversations and exploring, but thank you. And if people are interested in more of my investigations, they can go to newrealities.com. I have videos, articles, interviews with many people bringing in a higher level of consciousness and sharing their gift with the world. So if you're interested in Brazzo, and I totally recommend it, you have nothing to lose. It's worth checking out just if you're curious, and especially if you want to address some kind of situation. He'll be in New York August 31st to September 3rd at the New Yorker Hotel, which is at 8th Avenue and 34th Street. That's, and you can go to Brazzo.net. That's Brazzo.net. And thank you for listening. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. And if you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com, or email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening.